Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Yes, people, it's that time of the week. We have a banging episode today. And before I introduce my guest, remember to follow the podcast if you're enjoying the show. You can also check out Rishi Kurata on YouTube for the full podcast visually and also shorter clips. And remember to follow me at my Instagram at Rishi Kurata. Today we have Isaac Tu, also known as Talk Ming on Instagram. He is a college student in New York City and has amassed over 30,000 followers and over 10 million views with his content that focuses on humor and confidence. He did a series called Embarrassment and Rejection Therapy, where he put himself in funny and awkward situations to get over the fear of embarrassment. He showed his followers how facing rejection head-on can actually be a confidence booster and make awkward moments less intimidating. He also approaches women to show others that starting conversations doesn't have to be so scary. What are the steps to building authentic confidence? In today's episode, we dive into Ming's journey with embarrassment therapy and how putting himself in uncomfortable situations helped him grow socially and boost his self-assurance. We'll explore why many men today struggle with confidence, the importance of taking small steps to build real self-belief, and how to approach women confidently without appearing creepy. We also share insights on why relying on alcohol for confidence can be more harmful than helpful. Join us today for practical tips on breaking out of your comfort zone and building genuine, lasting confidence. So, with that being said, please help me welcome Talk Ming. Embarrassment therapy, rejection therapy. Why and how did you get the idea?
Of course, man. So I started my page, it was like April 20th of this year. And I started off just by doing 30 days of rejection therapy. And I mimicked a guy on, it was this Chinese guy on YouTube. He did a TED talk with like a few million views. I think his name was like Jia. I think that was his name. And he did it. It went viral. And I saw what he did. And I was like, I'm about to do the same thing. And I think this would be a great way for me to build confidence, make some good content, inspire people, have some fun with it. So that was rejection therapy. That's what kicked off my page. And then after that, I made some other videos. And then from rejection therapy, I kind of made up my own thing called embarrassment therapy. This was like in July. The first day, I literally just went to Walmart, did some funny thing there. The video blew up, so I was like, all right, I guess I gotta continue the series. So it's mainly just one, good content, two, to inspire people, and three, just to like have fun and build my own confidence. So that's pretty much
Was there a reason that rejection therapy actually resonated with you the most
as opposed to like what
other content, like why did it hit with you the most?
I just feel like it'd be I just felt like it had a clear objective, you know what I'm saying? Like, you go through this, this is the challenge, and I like challenges. So I was like, let's make it through a month, and let's see what we can do.
I mean, were you shy growing up? Is that why, like, you were like, I need to do this to get my confidence up and shit, or?
No, I wasn't. I was, like, average, I'd say. I've never been, like, the life of the party type of guy, but I wasn't, like, I've always known how to, like, talk to people before. Like, I've never been super shy, just like an average, normal guy, I'd say.
Yeah, I think one of the things that one of the reasons I love your type of content is COVID especially screwed over our generation, because we spent a year and a half in our houses, basically like isolated from conversing face to face, which is why maybe a lot of our skills are not as developed as other generations. And I think what you're doing is actually bringing that to light and telling people that they shouldn't be as fearful about approaching people in public. Was there a point on one of the days, I know you did like several days of the rejection therapy, was there a single point on a day where you're like, all right, I'm feeling it now, like where things really started going?
Like I was feeling more confident?
Yeah,
of course, bro. So one thing I'd like to say regarding the question is, like, it doesn't, like, you're always, like, when you're doing, like, public speaking and stuff, for me, like, I still get a little bit nervous when I film the videos. It's not like all of a sudden I'm just completely, just good. Like, I still get nervous sometimes when I'm speaking to, like, a crowd of, like, whatever, like, at Times Square or something like that. I still get a little bit nervous, but it's definitely improved a lot, compared to, like, the first video I did, I was asking a stranger for $100, and I was pretty nervous. Like, I was in the park, just, I sat there for, like, 20 minutes before I did anything. I was nervous, for sure. And I'd say a changing point for me was, I was in Pittsburgh. I was with my track team. We were in Pittsburgh, and I had to film 3 videos in one day. Usually, I just film every day. I filmed 3 videos all in one day, because we had, like, a track meet the next 2 days, and they were hard videos. One of them was, like, asking an Uber driver to, go drive me across the country. One of them was asking a cop to get arrested. And those two weren't that bad. The third one was really hard, to get into, ask an entire restaurant to sing me happy birthday. That was pretty rough. So after I got through that, like, I was just by myself in Pittsburgh, like this random part of Pittsburgh, just like, damn, I really gotta do this. Just walking around, I went to this one restaurant, it was just all families, just like locals there. I was like, this, it's so, it's such a tight area, like, I don't think I could do this. And then I went to this other restaurant, like, across the highway. Like, that was rough for me. But as soon as I finished that, I was like, let's go. Like, I felt really good. And that was really like, yeah, I could do this.
Explain to me that feeling after you did it. What was, like, the satisfaction from it?
I mean, bro, after every video, I always feel, like, satisfied. Like, it feels good. Like, yeah, I did that. I guess now it's a little bit easier for me to do these things. And it's, like, the satisfaction is a little bit less, because I'm just more used to it. But all of the videos, it's like afterwards I'm done filming videos, like, let's go. Like, if I'm with my boy filming, it's like, yo, let's go get some food, like, whatever, let's get it.
I don't know about you, but were you ever scared of roller coasters at, like, an amusement park?
Roller coaster? A little bit. Nothing, I've been on roller coasters, but,
like, dude, I don't know why. Something might
definitely scare me, for sure.
Like, when I think of what you just told me, I think of the classic amusement park experience when I was a kid. I'd be like, yo, like, I really want to get on the roller coaster, but I'd, like, step on it, and I, like, poop my pants, bro, right before I get on it, and I wouldn't go. And then, like, 2 hours after I leave the amusement park, I'd be like, God damn, bro, I wish I did that shit. Like,
you say you do go on it, and then you're
I don't. Like, I don't go on it, and I'm like, God damn, bro, like, 2 hours after I leave the amusement park, I feel like I wish I'd done that, you know? I feel like a lot of people in general have those moments when we want to go do something, in public especially, and then we leave it, and we're like, God damn, bro, why don't we just do it? Like, we pass by those moments so easily. Do you think there's an issue with men or people in general nowadays in terms of their confidence in public?
Confidence in public. Nowadays, because it's like, I don't really, you say nowadays, so it's like, we're both like young, right? It's like, I'm 20 years old. Like, I don't know what it was back then, but I guess like in the 90s or whatever, I feel like men were definitely like a little bit more confident, I'd say. In public or whatever, and nowadays it's more, you know, like social media, just stick to just online stuff. But I don't really know what the culture was back in the day, so I can't say anything has changed or gotten worse or gotten better in the modern day.
So in terms of your goal to inspire people, what are you actually trying to empower them to do then?
Yeah, man, that's a big question. I like the question, like, what I'm trying to do with my page as a whole. So, I definitely think a lot of people are just live in fear, whether it's like, being able to like talk to someone in public, being able to ask a girl out, whether it's just being able to like be themselves at like a party or something. A lot of people live in fear in social situations, and a big reason I started my page is to just show them that like you, it's not that serious. People don't really think about you as much as you think they do, and also that life's short and you really got to live your life, whether it's social confidence or just taking risk in life. You really gotta go for it in life. So that's like the overarching
message. Yeah, how'd you learn that lesson?
Which one? Like that you gotta like go for things in life?
Yeah, that people don't often like care that much about your wrongdoings, that you should actually just go for what you actually want.
I'd say a part of it is just like this series, like rejection therapy. Like certain when you just say something in public and you realize like no one's really caring, they're not gonna remember you. And in general, just like in life, I feel like, let's just say like you I don't know, something happens to you, or like you get like something crazy. Like what's something that like you would in your life that you would want to accomplish, and like that's a big deal for you.
In general, like a goal of mine.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, if I can get this podcast up live and going, like
that's fire, man. That's fire. And it's definitely I'm gonna try to find like a good clip from this podcast and I'll put it in my story and try to promote it for sure. But let's just say you get this podcast going, and it's like this is kind of sidetracking, but like the point is like you would be like, oh, this is awesome, and a few people would be like, yo, like Rishi got a podcast. But in general, most people who like follow you on Instagram, they'd be like, all right, I'm gonna focus on my own life. Like, he's doing his podcast. I don't care if he says some weird stuff on his podcast. He says some good stuff on his podcast. He's blowing up. One thing I've realized is like no one really cares that much about you in general. And it's like, it sounds harsh, but it's like, in general, like I feel like people, like, unless, besides your close knit friends, it's like people don't really pay attention to what you do. They all have their own lives to worry about. So that was the point of what I was trying to say.
That's cold. That's cold. Yeah. Which one of the, I'm just asking out of interest, which one of the days was events was the hardest to do?
For rejection or embarrassment therapy?
Give me one for both.
The hardest one for rejection therapy was definitely the restaurant in Pittsburgh. I was at this local restaurant, just Pittsburgh, just all adults. Like, I was just sitting at the bar. The restaurant was pretty full, I guess. I don't know. It's a small restaurant, but probably like 20 something people in there. And I just like, I was just sitting there eating my food, and I was like, just, I sat there for like 40 minutes and I was like, all right, let's just do this. And that one felt good. That was probably the hardest one. Or the proposing to the girl. Proposing at the mall was also, I was with my friends for that one, so that one wasn't as bad. But for embarrassment therapy, honestly, they were all like,
dude, some of them were tough. Like some of them were tough.
They were all like, I'd say like one of them, I just like went to a mall and stood up and I was like I made like a terrible joke about like internet cookies and something, and did like my stupid laugh, and like everyone
the chocolate
was
chip one.
Yeah, and like the cameras focus this way, right? So you see like, I don't know, 30 people in the frame, but the food court is packed. It's a big mall. Menlo Park Mall in New Jersey, if anyone knows. It's a big food court. There's probably like 200-300 people there. So that one was a little rough. And similar, like a lot of them were pretty rough for the embarrassment ones. Yeah, but I feel like that's part of the reason why they went viral, because people were like, oh shoot, like that wasn't easy to do. Like, good for him, I guess.
You think the hardest ones are like the most satisfying at the end of the day?
Of course, bro. I think that goes for, what's the quote? Like nothing in life is worth, nothing in life that's easy to get is worth having. Something like that. Mm. Someone once told me that. Yeah, for sure.
Why do you think that most people struggle with public speaking in general, or even, actually, maybe we can talk about what you just said, which is, people care so much about what other people think. They put so much weight on that. Why do you think that actually is?
Yeah, I don't even think it's a bad thing that we care so much what other people think in some ways, because it's like, I think it stems down to that, like, humans are social creatures. And I think we just naturally crave to be accepted by society, because back then, let's just say like a few thousand years ago, if your village didn't accept you, or like the group of people that were like, you know, like you were hunting with or whatever, migrating with, didn't accept you, you were gone. Like, they didn't give you food, they didn't, like, you were gone from the community. I think humans have a natural desire to be to fit in with the public, fit in with society, fit in with their group of people. I think that's just a natural urge. So I think that's why a lot of people fear public speaking. Like, there's a in one of my YouTube videos I talked about, like, how I think public speaking is feared, like, the number one fear. Like,
yeah, more than death, I think. Yeah,
above death. Yeah, so that's pretty crazy, man. Yeah, for
I
sure.
think, yeah, I do agree there are pros and cons to caring about other people's opinions. I did this episode with Palmer the Codker, who's a big-time YouTuber and a self-image coach, and she basically said she hates the advice of be yourself, because people should care about what other people think, because
interesting.
Then they can be the best versions of themselves. If other people, if they sort of put themselves above other people's opinions, they leave themselves no room for growth. But then there's this other aspect where if we care too much about what people think, then we limit ourselves for any growth, because or not limit ourselves, but we don't actually go for our goals. What is the right balance then, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think I think being yourself is good advice to an extent, but I don't think you should necessarily just try to be your natural self. I think you should try to develop into your best self. I think that's the, I guess that's what I would say. Instead of just being yourself, I would try to be yourself, but develop yourself into the best type of yourself that you could be. So
That is exactly what she said.
Okay, that's what she said. Okay.
And let me ask you, when you, a lot of your rejection therapy and embarrassment therapy is also going up to a certain person, individual, one-on-one. What is, over so many like days of doing it, what have you learned in terms of how to approach people and how to deal with certain situations?
Yeah, so pretty much like approaching girls, right?
Yeah, we can talk about approaching girls.
Pretty much, if I'm approaching someone one-on-one, it's usually a girl. Like, I know back in the rejection therapy, I think I approached a cop, like, asking to get handcuffed or whatever. But, I just approach girls because I know that's what people want to see for content, and guys are always thinking about, like, whether the world likes it or not, guys are always thinking about getting girls. It's just a biological urge. So, you said, what have I learned about it?
What are the biggest lessons you've learned in terms of actually approaching girls? Because you've done it so many times now where, whether you're nervous now still or not, I'm sure your nervousness has decreased to some point because you've learned some sort of characteristics that make you more comfortable. What are the sort of behaviors that you've learned?
Yeah, of course, bro. Like, with approaching girls, like, it's like, I feel like you really just gotta not take yourself too seriously. I feel like if you're not taking yourself too seriously, the girl's not gonna be too stressed out about the situation. And I think, like, women can naturally feel your energy. So if you're giving off good energy, it's like they can feel that. And if you're like kind of desperate or like, yo, I need to, like, I'm trying to get with this girl, like, like, let me get this, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you're giving off that energy in your head, it's like she's gonna feel that too. So I think having that good energy, and related to having the good energy, it's like if you get rejected, because we all get rejected. I've seen, like, I know some people that are like really good looking dudes who like get rejected by like the vast majority of girls that they approach, whether it's like them getting ghosted or whatever. Like, if you're approaching random girls, you're going to get rejected a lot. So just don't take the rejection too personally, and just don't take yourself too seriously, and just really, you just gotta enjoy the process, I'd say.
Run me through, when you say good energy, run me through how you display that in terms of like actual characteristics. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, of course, bro. I'd say, if I'm gonna like approach a girl, I'm just gonna make sure like I'm in the right mental space. Like, I'm not gonna, if you go up to a girl and go like, hey, I think you're cute, can I get your number? Like, if you don't, like, if you just say it like that, it's like, if you forget girls, if you go up to a person like that, they're not gonna be super receptive of that. For example, I used to be a salesman. I used to sell phones like off a table in the Bronx. And like one thing we learned is like you always gotta smile, because if you're going up to people and be like, have you gotten the phone yet? Have you gotten the phone yet? They're not gonna like, want to talk to you. But if you like go up to them with a smile, like, hey, how are you doing? Like give off good energy that they want to be around. I feel like that energy can be infectious. So just having like a just not forcing it. I feel like you should never force a smile, but if you're naturally just like, I feel like it's, if it's a pretty girl, you should naturally want to smile and just like, don't be desperate. Like it's like, you're just talking to a person. Just part of it is just like talking to any other person really.
No, I love that. I think the smile part is actually really important because,
yeah.
I mean, dude, there's a reason we all become happy when we see like a baby smiling at us or a dog just coming up to us, because they just give us unconditional joy. So you can smile at someone without needing a certain response from them, like even if you're smiling throughout the whole conversation and let's say you get rejected, but you take it with a smile, I'm sure you still leave the conversation in a good space.
Of course, yeah.
But let's say now you've introduced yourself, right?
Yeah.
I think most guys struggle with, all right, I've introduced myself. My name's Rishi. The girl goes, all right, you know, nice to meet you. Where do you go now? Like, well, like I think guys tend to just be like, oh my God, what is going on? You know?
Wait, so you said, hi, my name's Rishi. And then she goes, hi, nice to meet you.
Yeah, like just, most guys just, here like, are like stuck,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, the way I view it is just, I would just, the question I always ask is I just go, what's you up to? And then most of the time they're not doing anything. They're just like, oh, I'm just chilling. And then you'd be like, you just kind of play off like what you see around. So he's like, damn, I'm choking right now. I don't know. Like it's hard for me to put myself in the situation, but I would just like, I don't think there's something that, I guess the fact that I was choking right now, it's like, I think that's actually a good point, because there's nothing that I really planned out that I'm going to say. I don't have a set of questions I'm going to talk about with the girl. I don't have a, if she says this, I say this. I think that's dumb. So the way I view it is I just say whatever's on my mind. Just the same way I'm talking to you, with saying what's on my mind. That's just what I do. I don't think you should really have a pre-planned script. So I just kind of go with the flow really. And yeah, I don't know if that's bad advice, but I just kind of go with the flow.
I think that's good advice, bro. Treat them as a normal human. Like, they're not like a different species, right? Like, treat them as a normal human. I do think there is an issue in general with guys getting too scared of approaching women, because the statistics around it in the last 5 years are astounding. Like, I have it here. 85% of all college students think that everyone is hooking up. The reality is that it's actually 8%. So, 8% of students are actually hooking up.
Okay.
The majority of students think everyone around them is hooking up, whereas in the actual percentage of people hooking up and being together is 8%. And then we have 55% of men between the ages of 18 to 30 who've said they've never approached a woman.
Okay, that makes sense.
And then 77% of women want to be approached more. So we have this weird sort of balance where men are now getting more scared to approach a woman, and the woman want to get approached more.
Yeah.
Like, it's we're stuck in this paradox where, I don't know if it's social media. Why do you think that actually is?
I think a lot of it is dating apps, man.
You think?
I think, like, if you look at the statistics, I don't have the exact statistics right now, but it's, like, a very, like, the portion of couples that meet on dating apps is very, very, like, increasing by a lot. I've seen some statistics that it's like close to like 50% or something like that of couples that initially met off dating apps. So I think that's, I guess, changed the way we interact in person a little bit. But in terms of the guys being, scared to approach girls and girls wanting to be approached more, that's a hard, like, I like that we're talking about like big societal questions. That's a, like, why that is, why we are scared. I'd say a big reason that I've seen a lot of guys is they either think they're like ugly, or they think they're not worthy, or they think they're gonna like come across
as a creep.
A creep. That's a big reason. So, I'd say regarding to the coming across as a creep thing, for me, like, if I have like come across as a creep like before, I'd say like some girls are definitely a little bit uncomfortable, but it's like there's nothing that I really did wrong back then. I was just like, I think I'm just nervous, and like if I'm nervous, this girl's gonna feel nervous. But like, well, yeah, when I first started off, there's definitely a few girls that were like definitely like a little uncomfortable, like, why is this guy talking to me? Which is like, I feel like that's just part of the process. As long as you're not like purposely trying to be a creep, like, I think you're good. Like, you really just, like, some girls are not gonna rock with you. If you go up to random people, guys, a lot of guys aren't gonna rock with you. So a lot of people are just aren't gonna rock with you. But regards to not being a creep, I'd say like if you're confident and just like respectful and just again like giving off good energy and not being desperate, and you literally just throwing it out as a compliment. Hey, I was walking by, but I thought you looked really cute today. I was wondering if you were single. Like, that gives her the option. Like, does she want to like lie and say she has a boyfriend if she's not into you? Like, just really give her the option and don't be desperate. And I feel like if you come across with good energy, that's gonna, I feel like that's not gonna make you seem like a creep. The vast majority of girls, like, even if they have boyfriends or if they're married or something, the vast majority of them that I talk to, when I get rejected and they say they have a boyfriend or something, they're like they're genuinely like appreciative of the compliment, because I come across with like good intentions. I feel like, yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's just a compliment to them, right? It's even exactly. If it doesn't go your way, like, do you think it's bad when men, let's say, we go up to a woman and then they say, "Nah, we got a boyfriend," like, you kind of just like walk off sadly? You think that's like a bad sort of behavior to exhibit?
No, I mean, like, I think if she has a boyfriend, I think you should just walk off. Like, you don't have to be like look sad or angry, but I think you should. Some dudes might like try to talk to her more. I think that's really weird. Like, dudes who try to like, oh wait, like, we can't be friends or something. Like, like, just try to talk to her. Like, some like if she says she has a boyfriend, literally just be like, okay, like, take it as a compliment, have a nice day, and just walk away. So that's the way I view it.
To all the overthinkers, because I'm sure there's probably a few men listening, be like, all right, there's no chance I'm going up to a woman. Even if Isaac's giving me sick advice, like, I still refuse to do it. What are baby steps they can do?
Baby steps. I'd say, like, I'd say, like, compliment some, like, I'd say the first baby step is just go up to people and say good morning. Like, go to a park and literally just walk, like, in the morning and go, or in the afternoon, say good afternoon. This morning, good morning. How you doing today? Like, I think that's the first step. And then once you realize, like, you can talk to people, then, I'd say, like, I feel like a lot of dudes, like, overthink it. Like, I feel like some dudes, like, be watching videos of dudes who approach girls. I think that's dumb, like, to be honest. I think you should just do it. Like it's like, for example, like, if someone's scared of approaching girls or something like that, and most of my content doesn't have to do with approaching girls, so I don't want to, like, make it seem like I'm a dating coach or anything like that. But, this is definitely a huge topic that men talk about. But, like, for example, if the dude's scared of approaching girls and I say, I'm gonna put a gun to your mom's head, and if you don't approach a girl, your mom's dead. They're gonna do it. So the point of saying that, it's like, they physically can do it. It's not like I'm asking them to beat Usain Bolt in a race. I'm not asking them to deadlift a car. Like, they physically can do it. It's just a mental blockage. So it's like, there's really nothing that should stop you. I feel like you're gonna be nervous, but you really just gotta go for it. And the first time is gonna be rough, the second time is gonna be rough, but eventually you're really gonna feel proud of yourself. And I would just say, go up to girl and be like, hey, this is really random, but I thought you were cute, and then see where it goes from there. And then just ask if she has a boyfriend, ask for a number or whatever. Yeah.
Is it also about putting yourself in scenarios or in locations? I know this sounds a bit weird, but Chris Williamson is a great podcaster, Modern Wisdom, and he had this conversation with Brett Cooper where he talked about people should maybe also, if they're looking to ask, like, find a potential wifey, put yourself in situations where you can meet people normally in a daily basis. Like, for example, they recommended going to a run club, but even just putting yourself out there, like, it doesn't have to be a run club, it doesn't have to be like a middle-aged sort of Pilates class, but even putting yourself in a college student's eye, like, when you're studying, instead of studying in your room, maybe go study in the library in the public section, you know.
That makes sense to me, yeah. For me, it's like, I don't like some dudes I guess would go to clubs or bars or whatever. Me personally, I don't like the energy there. Like, not that I'd never go out, but I don't think that's a good place to meet a future girlfriend for me. But for me, yeah, like I'd say, like, I don't think you should really go somewhere to like approach girls, really. Like, I might do that for like a video or something like that, but I don't. But I definitely think, like, just putting yourself in more social situations, if you're a college student, joining clubs or something like that, just like joining like situations where you can meet people and eventually be more social, I think that's a good option. And yeah, for me, I like just going to a park, like a park on a sunny day. There's a lot of people just sitting around waiting, just like not doing anything. So I think that's a good place for sure.
What's wrong with the bar and the club?
I mean, it's just like, this is not for me. Like, everyone's, not everyone, but like most people are drunk. People are just like, the energy is just like, I just, for me, like I wouldn't date a girl that's like super into clubbing or bar, going to bars. 'Cause that's just not who I am. So I don't think, I just don't see myself personally meeting a girl who I would marry at a club.
Yeah, I think I was also asking because I'm just wondering, now that you've said it, do you think alcohol or a reliance on alcohol confidence actually reduces normal social competence?
Damn, that's a good question. You're asking some good questions. So relying on alcohol...
Because this is what I'm imagining, right? Sure, imagine we all go out on a night out and we're... Yeah. For me, okay, I need to approach a woman. I need to get drunk out of my mind, right? But on a normal day, does that not reduce my actual competence during the day? Be like, well, I don't know how to actually approach a girl normally during the day. Like, I need alcohol this. Like,
no, for sure. Yeah, you definitely shouldn't, like, rely on alcohol to be confident. You should be able to be confident in yourself. I feel like to be confident in yourself, you really got to develop yourself. Like, as a man, you got to really be like, am I doing everything I can to be a better person? I think if you are naturally grinding, if you're fat, like work out, lose weight, for example, if you're dumb or whatever, like get your grades up in school, like whatever. Like, I think like if you're naturally working on yourself as a man, working on personal projects like you with this podcast, for example, like I think you're naturally going to feel much better with yourself.
And much more confident. What are other ways we can develop ourselves?
Develop yourself. It depends on the person, but for me, it's like as a lot of my page relates to, it's like just facing my fears.
Yeah.
Like facing your fears, I think is definitely like, I think facing your fears is a great way to develop yourself. After every, video early on, I always felt super good. I felt on top of the world a lot of times after every video, cause I was nervous before filming the video. And afterwards, it's like, I did that, and I'm going to keep doing that. And I've never really folded under the pressure of a video. So that really made me feel a lot better about myself. And I feel like that translated to the way I interact. Like, I feel like that confidence can translate to the way I talk to people and just be social in everyday life.
Yeah, I like that. What have you seen in terms of your everyday life where you think your content and your confidence-boosting activities and your videos have actually helped out?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely just feel like I can, like, talk to anyone. Like, I don't really, yeah. I feel like it's, like, the level I've reached is sometimes, like, a bad thing because I really don't care anymore, to be honest. Okay. Like, I really feel like I can just talk to anyone, even if it's, like, socially not accepted. But I just feel like, not that I do it, but it's just, like, if I see someone and I want to say something, like, my intrusive thoughts would be, like, you can say something. And it's sometimes now it's, like, I got to hold myself back and, like, not be, like, dumb in public or something like that.
No way. You have too much confidence now?
I guess so. Like, the character, like, some of the character, like, the talking, like, when I'm playing a character in the videos, definitely it slips out into, it's, like, relax, bro. Like, you don't have to, like, talk to people and right now. Just relax. Just be a normal person. So, yeah, I'd say it's definitely just, like, I wouldn't say I'm too confident, but it's definitely just, like, I feel like I could talk to anyone. If I want to go outside right now and, like, scream in the street, like, I could do it if I wanted to. So it's definitely improved my confidence a lot, for sure.
Do you think the camera initially, obviously, I think you've explained now that you're a confident guy. You're not that as scared of the social boundaries. But do you think initially the camera was what was giving you confidence?
I don't think the camera was giving me confidence, but I think filming the series, it forced me to do everything. It's like for the 30 days of rejection therapy, like I couldn't stop. Like I had to film every single day. You know what I'm saying? Like I didn't have a lot of followers back then, but it's like the people who did follow me, I had like a lot of early support from some people. I appreciate those guys a lot. And like I wasn't gonna let them down by just not posting, and I wasn't gonna let myself down. So having the camera definitely forced me to take action, like every single day for that. Yeah.
And let's say, I want to swing it back to the advice kind of piece. What is like a more amateur version of a rejection therapy that all of us individuals can sort of set a goal for? Let's say, is it, all right, I want to tell 5 people today, good morning. Like, what kind of goals can we set like that?
Yeah, I'd say, like, you don't have to be, like, a social person if you don't want to. So, for example, like, let's say your goal is to, work as a software engineer. I'd say if you want to develop yourself in that way, I would say don't worry about that. Just focus on coding. If you're an athlete, I'd say focus on grinding in the gym. But if you are trying to be more social, and I'd say get more girls, for example, I'd say just do what you're scared of doing. So if you're scared of saying hi to someone, go on the street and say hi to someone. If you're scared of talking to a girl, like, you gotta go talk to a girl. That's the only way you're gonna get better at it. So I'd say whatever you're trying to do in life, you gotta face your fears and also just work towards that. And if it's social confidence related, you just have to, there's really nothing that I could say or anyone can say that's gonna make you want to do it. It just has to kind of come from yourself. You either want to do it or you don't want to do it, and you just gotta overcome whatever is holding you back, I feel like, and just go for it. Really, it's kind of like a ice bath, I'd say. You just gotta.
I will also say, I think in terms of like the confidence, it's also almost like an exponential kind of thing. Like the first one is so hard to do, but after you get that first one, bro, the dopamine hits. The next day, you're down to do another one. Then you keep on going, and then like confidence is like through the roof, bro.
Yeah. They're stopping you. No, that makes sense for sure. Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, I do think it is vital for us to gain some sort of social competence. Even if we're not in fields or jobs or our goals aren't typically social orientated, there is, I think, an importance to gain confidence in a social setting, right?
No, that makes sense. Yeah, what I said about like the computer scientist thing, like, yeah, you should still be able to talk to people. Yeah, I feel like everyone, like even introverts, like I feel like you need to, we're social creatures. I feel like you should be able to like have basic social skills for sure.
You think you went from an introvert to an extrovert, or you're always like an extrovert?
So like, I think that like a lot of people say like comment stuff like that, like, yo, like, bro's the final boss of introverts, or like introverts scared. Like I always see those comments, like, they're basically like calling me an extrovert, and like introverts would be scared of doing what I do. But I'd say like by definition, right? Correct me if I'm wrong, but an extrovert is someone who enjoys talking to people, and an extrovert is someone who gains energy from talking to people.
Yeah, that's how I do.
And
yeah,
an introvert is someone who gains energy from being by themselves. And I don't even like the words introvert, extrovert, because it's kind of just like it's kind of just black and white. Like, you're either an introvert or you're an extrovert. I think everyone has a different extent to I think everyone, even the most extroverted guys, could be happy and enjoy themselves watching a movie in their dorm room, or like just being by themselves and chilling for a second, working out in the gym or something like that by themselves. And even the most introverted guys can enjoy the companies of other people, and I feel like everyone's just in the middle of the introvert extrovert. So for example, for me, it's like sometimes like I'll be going crazy with people at a party, like I'll be dancing like at a party or whatever, like just screaming like with my friends or whatever, and I'm really enjoying that. But other times I literally go to like some random like my like personal spots around New York City and literally just chill and just think, listen to music, eat some good food by myself. So I think everyone's, like, I don't think there's introverts and extroverts. I think everyone should focus on both developing, enjoying the time with themselves and also being able to enjoy time with others.
All right, well, I think, personally, I think that's solid advice, bro. And I've been doing this with all my guests. I don't want to sort of thin it out, but what is the best advice you've ever been given?
That's mad deep, bro.
Yeah.
That's hard. No, that's a good question. The best advice I've ever been given, I'd say, I'd say it's that, I think there was a study that, a study like on people that were about to die. I think like some university or whatever did a study on people that were about to die, and like it looked at their biggest regrets, and no one really said their biggest regret was the money that they've made or their careers. No one really said that. They all said things such as the memories they've had and the people they've cared about, the relationships they've built. So I think in life in general, we really gotta, I know a lot of people are less fortunate and have to like chase the money to survive or whatever. I think in life, like, we really have to focus a little bit less on chasing the money and our careers, and more focusing on our relationships with others and creating memories and chasing our true passions and creating memories that way. Yeah, I think, like, especially going to, like, a top school like NYU, everyone I know is talking about how they're going to make money, how they're going to get an internship, how they're going to, like, just make six figures or whatever. But I feel like we're going to get those jobs and have to work those jobs. If you're working, like, a 9-to-5 or whatever for, like, I don't know, 40, 50 years, and you really have to think, like, that time is short, and when you're gone, like, what you're going to really value. So, for example, like, you really got to consider, like, if you were to die, like, a few years from now, would you be satisfied with what you've done? You really got to consider what you want to be remembered by and what you want to remember that you yourself did in your life. So I'd say, as a whole, I'd say a philosophy that I've been living more by, it's just that, like, I'm trying to focus a little less on my making money and getting like a typical corporate job, and focusing a little bit more on really chasing what I'm passionate about and inspiring others, leaving an impact, and creating relationships and memories with others. So I'd say that's, yeah.
Love it, bro. Love it. Thank you for being on. Just to finish it off, where can we find you?
My Instagram is TalkMing, TalkMing, and I also have a YouTube channel by the same name. So yeah, I appreciate you having me, Risha. You asked some great questions. Maybe in the future we could do another episode for sure.
Dude, of course, I'd love to. And yeah, like you said, I'd love to do another episode when things have changed, when we've grown as individuals. But in the meanwhile, you've helped my audience out. You've given me solid advice. So thank you for being on, bro.
Yeah.